Good evening and welcome to the special meeting of the Board of Directors of the Town of Discovery Bay CSD. At this time, I'd like to open our meeting and roll call, please.
President Still?
Here.
Vice President Pease?
Here.
Director Graves?
Here.
Director Lee?
Here.
Director Simon?
Here.
Thank you very much. At this time, we have public comment. The public may comment on any item on the agenda that is before the board for consideration. Any person wishing to speak?
You can actually skip that.
There's nobody in the building for public comment. Thank you. All right, at this time, I'm going to turn it over to Rod, legal counsel, please.
The board will adjourn into closed session as identified on the agenda as items 2D1 and D2.
No meeting.
So the board's reconvening from closed session and there is no reportable items coming out of closed session.
Thank you. This time I'd like to adjourn our closed session. Good evening and welcome to the regular meeting of the Board of Directors of the Town of Discovery Bay. I'd like to call this meeting to order. If you'll please rise and stand with Kevin Graves in the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Carol, roll call, please.
President Still?
Here.
Vice President Pease?
Here.
Director Graves?
Here.
Director Lee?
Here.
Director Simon?
Here.
Great, thank you very much. Public comments. Individual public comments will be limited to a 3-minute time limit. During public comments, the public may address the board on any issue within the district's jurisdiction, which is not on the agenda. The public may comment on any item on the agenda at the time that item is before the board for consideration. Any person wishing to speak must come up and speak from the podium at the front of the room. There will be no dialogue between the board and the commenter. Any clarifying questions from the board must go through the chair. Is there any public comment? Okay, we'll close public comment. At this time, I'd like to move on to item C, presentations.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. Back probably in, was it September?
October,
I'm sorry. Mary Halley and John Honey came and provided a presentation to the board regarding the Discovery Bay area benefit. If you recall, they had some slides and presentation with respect to transportation improvements in and around Discovery Bay, and the board had a number of questions for them at the time. They're coming back at your request, and they're here tonight to give you an update and to address all of your questions.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Mary Holly, and I'm Associate Civil Engineer with the County Public Works Department. And as Rick said, John Honey is also with us. And Adonis, you're going to have to help me with your last name.
Garfalakis.
Yeah. Adonis is our consultant with DKS Associates that's helping us with the area benefit update. So before we get into the bulk of our presentation tonight, I just wanted to give you a brief update on some traffic control devices that are scheduled for the Discovery Bay area next year to be installed. And so back in February, our group, Angela Villar, who works with me in the Transportation Engineering Division, we submitted an application for Transportation Development Act funds to put in pedestrian actuated flashers at several schools in the East County area. And three of the flashers were proposed to go in at two at, is it Timber Point Elementary School, and one at Willow Lake, just right here. So I'm happy to tell you that we were awarded the grant funds. And so the purpose is to help improve safety and awareness of the children crossing in front of the schools. I did bring a couple copies of locations where the flashers are proposed to be.
Yes, I'll just read past that.
Okay.
What was he now?
for our area?
It was either 100 or 120,000. Do you remember, John?
That's a lot of pain.
Okay. So as Rick mentioned, we were here in October and talked about updating our area of benefit. Area of benefit being a traffic mitigation fee for developers. It hadn't been updated since 1997, so DKS, our consultant, at the meeting in October presented their results of an assessment of what the future needs would be for the area. Let's see. And at that time, we presented the list that you see on the board, and it's also provided in your staff report. So at that meeting, you all had a lot of valuable feedback. We took in all the feedback and left with the promise that we would be coming back in a few months, taking time to digest all the comments and revising the project list. So here we are. And we're ready to provide you the updated list, which should take into account all the comments that we heard. And so in the staff report, the front sheet of your staff report provides the proposed list. Then we go through all the comments received and responses. And then the last sheet of the staff report is this proposed list. So we provided it to you ahead of time because we want to give you time to digest the information and then use our time most effectively tonight. So right now I'm happy to go through all of the comments and responses if you'd like. If you have certain ones that you'd rather spend more time on, we can do that. Or if you just want to go straight to discussing how the list has changed, we can do that as well.
I don't see the. I don't think we got a copy of the revised list in the packet.
No.
We got it as part of the PowerPoint that was sent over this afternoon.
Oh, okay.
It shows up, I think, on page 6. It shows up on page 6.
Yeah.
Without all the comments. Yeah, it shows up on page 7, but it's without the
it's
red
without
highlights.
The, it's without
yeah.
the
I'm sorry, it shows up on page 6, but it's without the red highlights.
Six.
That's
seven.
It's on 6, yeah.
It doesn't show the yet. It's Rod's correct.
Yeah, we just thought that adding, showing it in track changes would be easier to see what changed.
Bottom right corner.
3, 4, 8, 5,
6 of 7.
Yeah, so the first one's the old list. Then we have all the comments and the responses. And on the last page, it looks like this. Okay, so I can take a cue from you all as to whether you want to go comment by comment or just go straight to what it has been modified in the project list or whatever.
Just go straight to what's modified.
Okay, so as you see in the red changes, one of the comments made was that what will be the benefit of widening ultimately State Route 4 to 4 lanes if the bridge crossing is still at 2? That was a good comment. We're including in the cost estimates now the cost to widen the bridge as well to accommodate the 4 lanes throughout. Okay, and then skipping down to the next red track change, Flipper Drive traffic calming. We had several comments about the need to slow drivers down on Flipper Drive. And so we're adding an item for traffic calming measures. Now, we want to keep all of the descriptions very general because if a project doesn't go in for another 10 to 20 years, you want to be able to react and assess the needs at that time and to do what's right then. And so we want to keep the descriptions very general to the intent. And then we still need to provide cost estimates to do an overall budgeting, but the estimates as well are very general. Large contingency, just to keep options open in the future. Going to the last two entries, we also had the comment about needing to make it easier for children from Discovery Bay to bike to school if they want to bike to Excelsior, and that bike lanes or extended shoulders on Bixler to Byer would be helpful for that. And so we've added that to the project list as well.
It's very difficult for us to make comments when we don't have that list. I don't have that list. I don't have a copy of that list.
Yeah, and I
because I have nothing that says anything about adding a traffic signal on the list that's in front of me at Newport. I don't, where are you planning to add another? You're planning, you're talking about adding a traffic signal on Highway 4 at Newport? Why? There's no accident.
The traffic modeling for the year 2040 shows that the level of service degrades at Newport and State Route 4, as well as other past environmental documents for developments such as Pantages Bays or other developments in West Discovery Bay. So that's why it's included. Now, that doesn't mean that it's necessarily going to happen, but it means that if it was needed, it would be included in the project list and it would be an eligible project to be funded through these monies.
These projects are out many years. Is that correct?
With the exception of Byron at Byer, that we're looking at moving forward soon.
So that's over by the shelter, on the corner there by the ball field?
Right, and we did talk about that last
No, that's probably a good idea because people come to an abrupt halt right there during school hours.
Okay, so I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
There's one item on Bixler Road and Newport. You know, there's no turn lane there. It's ridiculous. If people are going from 40 miles an hour down to zero, someone makes a right-hand turn, and it seems like Bixler's narrow at that point, and I don't see that on the list.
So it's Bixler south of SR4, is that?
It's Bixler in the north. It's Bixler northbound to Newport. There's two accesses to Newport. There's access on California Highway 4 and on Bixler Road.
Oh, I know, here. Let's see.
So you're talking about past the post office here?
Yeah, past the post to the north.
Past the lot?
People
past
make
the
a ride
lot?
Into Newport right there.
It's really? Well, I don't know.
It's pretty wide, but it's strike one lane.
It's strike one lane.
Yeah, strike one lane.
There's no turnout.
Would that be in this vicinity?
North.
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 Oh, okay.
It's up as you would turn to go to the school.
Okay. What we're hoping for tonight is that we can get your recommendation to move forward with our Nexus study. So you have the flexibility to look at the proposed list and make a motion that adjusts anything on that list. So that would be a good way to move forward.
Thank you.
I think our comments are included there, so
mine are.
I'm ready to move ahead.
I read the report and I think I'm satisfied.
Yeah,
with the,
I'm good with it.
I'm good with it too.
All right. If I
why don't we make a motion to add your item?
Any other comments or questions? Any public comment?
We actually don't need a motion on this. This is.
I want to add something. Don't we have to make a motion?
They're just taking input.
Well, on recommendation of the presenter. To add that component for them to continue studying this new item.
I was hoping to come away with a recommendation for us to move forward so that we have some stability moving into the Nexus study.
So you're looking at for them to make a motion to accept the report that they have here, and if there's changes or additions, you want those now?
Yes.
Go for it.
Any public comment? I'd like to make a motion that we add the Newport-Bixler Road turn lane, or maybe a double lane there, and then we accept the list as presented.
Second.
For clarification for the county staff, Chris, are you referring to northbound Bixler as it turns right onto, or turns east onto Newport? So it would be a right-hand turn lane?
I think they should look at it both directions.
It's the Bixler Newport.
There's a left-hand turn lane.
Sure.
Okay. Going southbound.
Yeah, the northbound.
But there's a right-hand turn lane.
Northbound, right, and left.
You should need to look at the northbound right-hand turn.
Okay.
There's already a left turn.
There's a left turn pocket going south.
Okay.
Turns on to Newport.
Okay, thank you.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Thank you, unanimous.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Let's see, we'll open up President's Report and Director's Comments.
Nothing to report at this time?
No.
Good. I missed the last meeting. Apologize. I did attend the Sons in Retirement a luncheon and gave a brief update on our town's activities, and it was about 130 members or guests that were in attendance. So, let you know that. Thank you. Let's move on to item E, our consent calendar.
Motion to approve as it stands.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Unanimous. We'll move on to item F. General Manager, please.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. Item F1 before you this evening, as Greg works his way to the podium, is to approve a contract with Telstar for the two parts. One is a radio survey, and the second would be the installation. The survey is to test our environment relative to radio antenna heights and connectivity between radios, between our water treatment plants, our wastewater treatment plants, our sewer lift stations. As you know, we're flat and we have a hard time getting the correct radio waves from antenna station to station. So the first phase of this would be to conduct that survey and study. If it comes back that it just isn't going to work, we're not going to move on to phase two. We're going to do an alternative approach. And the second one, and I'll let Greg explain a little bit more in detail, but it actually has the installation of the camp or the radio antennas in the equipment themselves.
Okay, so as we discussed in some of the wastewater committee meetings, our radio system is out of date and no longer manufactured. And as a result of that, we have a immediate opposite of us that needs at certain stations. So like well 7 came online, we couldn't buy radio for it. So we had to go to the used market and go find someone with a used radio like sitting on a shelf just to complete the project. It's not a sustainable way going forward, and we need to pick radio. Our first attempt at that was a recommendation from Kit Begley at Veolia, which is a ProSoft radio system. So we tried out 2 just to see how it worked, and it did not work well. In fact, we decided we cannot proceed there. Before proceeding further, we said, you know, we need to do some basic testing to know for sure what we're buying, what we're proceeding with on the town. We're not going to spend money now without actual field tests. We've actually conducted preliminary testing at 3 sites, Well 7, Newport, and Wastewater Treatment Plant Number 1, which are our key locations. And we were able to use this modified radio, different manufacturer, a little lower frequency. The other problem we found is everybody in Discovery Bay has Wi-Fi, and we were shooting at 2.4 gigahertz, and the noise was incredible. It's like everybody's house was just overwhelming the radio signal. So we changed frequencies, we changed radios, we changed frequency, and then we tested that. And we got very good connection, very good signal with our 3 test locations. But not satisfied with that, we want to test them all before we proceed on. So that's what first phase is to test every site, make sure that they're all working before we commit to a new radio system. The new radios are actually are not quite as fast, but basically they're going at a frequency that doesn't have as much data throughput, but it's away from everybody else, and so it's a much stable frequency as long as we can get the line of sight issue resolved. Basically our test showed at Newport and at Willow Lake and Plant 1, we got to 50 feet, everybody talked just fine. We're actually thinking about, instead of putting the antenna in Plant 1, putting it in Plant 2, go a little bit higher. It has a little better angle on all of Discovery Bay for Plant 2. So that would be validated as part of this testing, and then if the testing shows up, we'll proceed on phase 2, which is the installation of, I'll say, the Ethernet backbone. We're not putting it in everywhere, but we need to put enough of the backbone in that we can, as radios go out, as we expand, we can add to the new system, that kind of thing. So the backbone proposed is Newport, Willow Lake, one of the treatment plants, and we're already working on F, we're already working on G, and we pick up those little lift stations, and that would then start our system. And as other things come along, when we have to replace a radio, we would convert to the new system at that location. That's sort of our plan method of getting into it. And it's, so that's the idea. I can answer any questions you have.
Go ahead.
Two questions. The survey, is this included in, is this an extra on top of the 86 grand, or is this included?
That's included. So step one's 15, and I think the step two was like
70.
58 or 60 or something. Yeah, it's included.
The other, if you're asking for 86, we actually need 106 because the concrete footing for 20 grand.
Well, tonight is Telstar's contract, that's correct, but we're advising you that if I put in a 10 up, I need a base for it. Yeah. Well, Telstar doesn't build bases, that's correct. So we're estimating around $20,000 for bases and other incidental items, you know, to connect the system.
No, I understand. I'm just saying, should we just, as long as we're going to pass this, assuming we're going to pass it, why don't we pass the total amount?
We could do that.
Well, the bases may come back costly. More.
We may have to.
And we have to verify that the system we've got to move forward.
But would it be, if they come back more than 20 hours, if they come back more than 20, then what's the difference? It would just be an item we wouldn't have to go back on the agenda again unless it was an original order.
Yeah, I mean, you know, basically, you know, we know we're going to need some concrete bases, and it's a pretty big hole. I mean, it's a 50-foot antenna, so we got a big hole to deal with and stuff like that. So, you know, we're estimating $20,000. You know, it might be a little bit more, it might be a little bit less. But basically, we're going to put them in one at a time, or when we get more information, you know, we'll know. But that's our project budget. You know, that's what we're budgeting for the project.
Chris, is your point to allow a $20,000 contingency for staff to accomplish the base installation and the cabling?
Yeah, that way if it comes to that, then we're done.
That's great, and then if there's an issue, we'll bring it back.
And if it comes back, where's $22,000 or $23,000
for contingency
money anyway?
That would be fine.
That's the question.
Any other questions, comments?
Nope.
Any public comment?
If there's not, then I would like to make a motion. I'd like to amend. I'd like to make a motion that we approve the radio system upgrade and the survey for the town of Discovery Bay control data, and that we change the amount requested from $86,995 to $106,995 to include the concrete stands.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Don't move. Yeah, it's the first two items are Greg's. I'll just let Greg roll into the next one.
Okay, so this is a project that was put on the CIP for this year. It's to change out the RAS, which is return activated sludge control panel, the VADs that control plant one. And it turns out that through a long sequence of torturous events, we happen to have a slightly roughed up control panel from Veolia that's been refurbished. And the item is to essentially purchase that panel from Veolia. And then after we purchase the panel, there is some electrical hookup. So the project budget is more than, I think the line item is 12, I can't remember, it's like
12,000. 12.5.
Yeah, 12.5. Our project budget is 50 in the CIP. And we have some on-site electrical work to hook it up. So the key at this point is to officially buy the panel. It's actually sitting in the shop over there. It's been sitting there for like 6 months. But we need to officially buy the panel, and then we will arrange for the electrical contractors to come out and hook up the panel. But we have to review some wiring first.
This is the panel that you recall was. Sometime, somewhere between the point of it shipping from the manufacturer to the point that it was delivered, it was dropped. And Greg went through it and rejected it due to potential damage. We got a new panel for the inflow pump station.
Yeah.
And this panel is over there. They've gone through it and worked it out, and it works fine. It's a little, the enclosure itself has a little bit of damage to it, but it shouldn't in any way impact the overall functionality of it.
Go ahead.
So I assume what Veolia must have looked at and deal with the manufacturer said, hey, we'll just keep it used someplace else and at a discount or whatever.
Well, we bought it originally when we had to buy the second one.
Okay.
So the long and short of it is, manufacturers say get lost.
You're getting some back.
It's your panel.
Okay.
You know, essentially, it should have been a shipper claim, but the shipper never paid.
Yeah.
Right. So the panel was originally $50,000. It was a $50,000 panel. Veolia had to buy another $50,000 panel. This one's sitting here. There was some slight damage internally. A light fell off. Some other things fell down. But they've checked it out, and everything operates fine. It's all the equipment, and we're getting it at a steep discount.
So on the electronic components that are inside, you just mentioned you've tested them.
Yeah.
What's a normal warranty on those items coming direct from the factory?
Yeah, the warranty on the normal PLC equipment, which is the computer parts of it, is 1 year. And the VFDs purchased through Veolia is 2 years, I think, right? 3 years. So they're still under warranty. So we still have the warranty on those items. So,
Well, when the clock would start ticking when...
Well, the clock probably started already 6 months ago.
Yeah, more.
But through Veolia, our purchase value on parts is actually pretty darn good.
All right, so yeah, we're comfortable that it does have some warranty on the components inside. You've checked them all out and everything.
Right, yeah, and I watched, you know, Dennis checked it all out, and everything's functioning fine.
Thank you.
Any other comments, questions?
Move staff's recommendation. Public comment.
Any public comment?
Move staff's recommendation. Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Unanimous. Thank you. Thank you, Greg.
Thanks, Greg.
Thanks.
See you, Greg.
We're going to skip the next item. No, I'm just kidding. Mr. President, members of the board, the next item for consideration this evening is a draft of a storage space lease agreement that the board asked back on February the 18th to come back to this meeting with a draft of an agreement, with a lease agreement for our abandoned well stations 3 and well stations 4. The locations are included. Plot maps are included with your packet. Essentially, they are on Discovery Bay Boulevard. One's down close to the steakhouse, down by the entrance of town, and one's right here at, is it Edgeview?
Edgeview Way,
thank you. Rod and his staff worked on the agreement, and we spent some time on it last week. It's here before you tonight. It has been provided, courtesy copy, to both the president of the Lions Club, Dave Cerulli, as well as the president of the foundation, Scary Bay Community Foundation, Jim Addison. They received copies of it over the weekend. And what is not included is a recommendation on what the rent would be. I do have some information for you to discuss on that when you're ready at some point in time, when those discussions are ready to take place. It's my vision that the board would take a look at the agreement, the draft agreement, take input from the public, and then direct staff to go back and finalize and formalize the agreement, and then bring it back to the board for formal authorization at the next meeting. So, not sure if you have any questions on the agreement itself.
When I reviewed it, and I gave Manager Howard a call, and there was a clause in there about insurance. My concern was that if a vehicle or something happened to the building, the fence or something, that the leasee would be able to cover that. So was staff able to work that out?
In
It's not common practice. Well, first of all, you've got a letter before you in terms of keeping the cost low. It's not common practice when you maintain your own building to require insurance on the building. Your insurance would cover damage to the building. There is provisions in the lease should the tenant do damage to the building as a result of their negligence. They would be liable for it. They would not have insurance coverage for it. Generally, you're not obligated to provide insurance when you're tenant, when you're a tenant in a rental home or anything like that. That's at your choice, because what you're insuring is the items inside. And there was some thought that they might not want to insure their items. They might not care about them. Tables, chairs, easier to replace than it is to buy insurance. We do have a provision in the agreement that indicates that we recommend that they secure insurance, because obviously it's not on our dime should they lose their items inside, just like it's not on a landlord's obligation to replace your furniture should the house burn down. The landlord would be able to use their insurance to rebuild the house. If the tenant didn't have replacement costs associated with the furniture or the items inside, they're out. So it's kind of at your discretion. You might want to hear
well, there's
from.
There's different types of insurance. Right?
There are. There's lots of different types of insurance.
I don't see any liability insurance on this at all. I don't see any $1 million coverage for an accident or dismemberment or injury on this at all.
That's correct.
Yeah. So
we've kept it simple. We've tried to keep some of those more onerous terms out of it. At your direction, we're happy to modify them if you so direct.
Sometimes. Landlords or tenants carry a general liability insurance so that in case somebody was to be injured, trip, fall, smashed by a door, or something happened that we can't control about, but there would be insurance to cover those expenses. And it's common practice in California for tenants to carry that. And I don't know how that plays into us being a government agency, but I think there should be some sort of liability insurance.
Yeah, I agree with you, Chris. Rick, would SDRMA have any SDRMA have any guidance with regard to liability insurance for activities taking place on Town of Discovery Bay property that is not directly related to the Town of Discovery Bay?
That's what we were just discussing here. So should, I mean, all of these facilities are your premises. So should somebody get injured on your premises, SDRMA insurance and the coverage that you have would cover that. It's not typical when you go rent a storage unit that you would necessarily see a requirement that you would buy insurance for the buildings or the surroundings or somebody trips and falls. So SDRMA would cover under normal practice. If somebody gets injured in a park, you've got the same issue.
Right.
And then I don't see anything about the condition of the property. Are we selling dry storage? Or are we just calling outdoor storage? What is this? What's the condition that we're offering? As is?
As is. And I believe it's referenced in the agreement.
It is.
It is.
I have a question on this one. We're doing, obviously this is going to be two leases for two pieces of property. Is there something in that lease, or there should be, that lays out exactly how much space we're leasing out? And I say that because you have the storage container in there, you have the other building. What I don't want to see happen is stuff being stored outside in there. All of a sudden trailers are in there. It hasn't happened in the past, and I just like to cover us with that.
The intent of this is to provide indoor storage space to the two separate organizations at two different locations. One of them, as you are aware, does have the roll-off, the cargo container on it. We do have a clause in there in the draft of the agreement that says that the Town of Discovery Bay, at its need, use, and discretion, may utilize the outdoor facilities if necessary. For example, we get large loads of plants and trees come in. That's where we generally put them. We have them lay them down at that location. The idea was that it would be the inside, but there's also the outside. It's all fenced in. And if the board wants to allow an outside, the outside is certainly an option. And I've got pricing examples for inside, outside, and for a cargo container.
I think the storage should be inside. Like it used to be, it's always been inside. There's never been anything outside.
Well, maybe we can hear from the applicants and see what their thoughts are.
And then one more comment. I don't see anything about hazardous materials or substances on this. And so
you know, maybe that's something we should have on there, that, you know, no storage of hazardous materials or flammable materials, or I wouldn't say flammable, but just hazardous. I'm worried about a 55-gallon drum rolling in there and nobody knows where it came from.
Good point.
I can include a provision, shall not store hazardous materials supplied under California.
And then how about access for the town? What is the procedure for access to get into the building?
You have complete and full access at your discretion.
No notice?
No notice.
All right. Questions? Any comment from the parties?
Before they get up and speak, you do have a letter dated March 11th from Lion member Bob Abity, so you have that there. He dropped this off last week, and that's before you as well. If it's at the board pleasure, we can discuss options for rent and those sorts of things, or if you want to hear from the public first, we can do that as well.
Thank you. Can we have the Alliance Club please come up? Could you tell us more about your needs?
Well, yes. Right now, we have the majority of our stuff down at the well site that's down by the steakhouse. We have a little bit of stuff that we left in the old well site that we never moved, that we have to clear out of there. But it will fit well within the container that's also on that well site. Now, we have added an additional requirement. We have been discussing for some time the need for having a stage for events, and or whether we have events at the community center or at the marina or wherever, or whichever group in town has it. So we are in the process of purchasing a mobile stage, and that mobile stage, it's a trailer that's, what is it, about 20 feet in
10 by 20 to start with.
It's a 10 by 20 trailer that folds out to a larger stage. So that unit is something that we would want to stay, put on the storage. And we do want to stay down there at the steakhouse. That's where our stuff is. We built shelves in there.
The trailer's outside, correct?
The trailer would be outside. Yeah, I mean, we're just discussing. Yeah.
There's that nothing three out or four?
What well site is that?
Four.
The south side. Thank you.
The south side. Yeah, I can never remember what side it is. But that's what our needs are. We're anxious to hear about what the rent's going to be, because we do have to kind of figure that in. We are going to continue to do the support that we have. This year, we've already spent something in the neighborhood of $4,000 in benefiting the community center, $1,000 to the dog park, and we've also put another $3,000 into archery equipment for an archery program at the community center. So, you know, we want to continue those kind of support things. But we are going to have to calculate rent in there, and I think that was the purpose of the letter that Bob Abity sent out. He wanted to show that we are contributing to the community, and we continue and will continue to do the same. Okay,
thanks, Nick.
Mr. Madison. Well, three, I don't know if you've been in there or not, or those who have, and there's really not much room in there. So to limit just to the inside probably wouldn't be very practical at all. We'd probably end up having another storage unit or another building outside that we could put stuff in, because the same thing, we'd probably have barbecue and stuff like that. That have to go in the fence. How that agreement is set up is fine with us, because of the fact that
as long as everything is inside the fence and it's, you know, blocked and covered, then no one can really see it. So that's kind of where we stand.
Sorry, you feel that you would desire to put a container similar to the one the Lions Club has?
We'd probably put something in there, some type of a building, because there's no room inside that. Have you been in three? There's virtually no room in there.
Okay. What? And you would paint it to match the building?
Just like we did the other one, yep.
Okay, so it would.
If I can add to that, I was on site for both of them last week, and in Wellhouse 4, where the pump used to be, that's been removed, and a big concrete block has been removed in the middle of the floor. That's not the case in number 3. Number 3's got a big concrete block, probably what, verge about 4x4 in size, and probably four feet tall. And there's actually an engine in there. And Virgin and I talked last week about removing, having that motor removed. And that would allow whoever would utilize that site to be able to use that for some vertical storage.
Well, you might be putting some on top of it. You could still get all that cement on top. Right. So
just as something we've been talking about internally, moving on that.
How complex is the removal process of that?
It's going to be a... The motor probably went in before the roof went on. So there may be some trickiness to it, but it's a double wide door, and you could certainly get a cherry picker in there to pull the motor up, and once it's off.
And is there any, there's no future use for that motor, and it would go to scrap?
We actually looked at that, and that's exactly what you do. You open the double doors, and you get a picker in there, and you bring it back out. Really isn't that big of a deal.
Okay.
And then what about the water, the leakage?
We're addressing that.
We're addressing that. There are some leaks in both roofs.
And coming out of the well.
We took care of one of them last week.
Right.
Okay. We turned the valve off.
Two rooms in different container?
Three?
Yes. Inside the site, not inside the building.
Yes.
Yeah, the site is definitely large enough for a container.
I think I'd like to hear some of the examples of the rents.
So what we did is we surveyed the three locations in Discovery Bay and around Discovery Bay that rent facilities. The Discovery Bay Storage here in town off of Newport, Highway 4, Delta Storage across the street, Caddy Corner gas station, all outdoor. And Borewood as well. The inside storage, 10x20, which coincidentally is the size of the container, I believe, is $172 a month for an indoor storage unit, okay, for 10x20. And it's my understanding that at Discovery Bay, at Well Station 4, the inside is about 10 to 15 by 20. I didn't measure it. Jim actually measured it, and I'm using the number that he provided me. So that's about, say, 15 by 20. And a 10 by 20 is $172 a month. Outside storage, a 10 by 30 is $73 a month. At Delta Storage and at outside, 12 by 30 outside at Orwood is $60 a month, and a 12 by 30 inside is $200 a month. So it's really up to the board to determine what is a fair price based upon those numbers. If you want, I just threw some numbers together as a proposed number, using those numbers as a base. I didn't use... Facilities aren't quite as nice as you would get if you walked into a brand new storage facility, and if you rent into an outdoor storage facility. So I think a discounted rate on that would be appropriate. Also, the fact that they're benefiting the community and the money comes back into the community, I think it's appropriate to have a lower rate. So what I did is for Well Station 3, I threw a number together of $100 a month on the inside and $25 a month on the outside. For four, again, $100 a month on the inside, $50 a month for the container, and $25 for the outside. And that's certainly up to the board discretion. Those are just numbers I pulled together based upon what kind of the market rate is out there for current storage, and knowing that our storage isn't really comparable to what you can rent out on the open market.
And this is a month-to-month lease?
It's a month-to-month, but what we recommend in the agreement is that it be paid annually at the beginning of the year, so that we don't have to send out an invoice every month. It would just be done one time at the beginning of the year. And for 2015, it would be prorated based upon the remaining, whenever the lease gets entered into, the remaining months at that point in time.
So you, in summarizing that, you're saying 125 for three and 175 for four, is that correct?
See, what I'm talking about is there has to be a container on both sides.
I didn't know there was going to be a container on the other side, so if that was the case.
Who owns the container on site four?
Technically, we do.
Okay. We may or may not own the one on site. So it's hard to charge somebody for a container that we don't own. If the foundation decides to either put up a structure that we agree with or put in a container at their cost, we're not going to charge them for using that container because we're already charging for the outside. So I don't. It's not really apples to apples.
Well, they're outs. If the lessee puts a container on the site, that's outside storage of their.
Theirs.
It
was so already included in that $25.
Yeah. With respect to the storage container at well site four, the Lions Club acquired that at no charge. And they had it located on site at their cost and expense, and they painted it at their cost and expense. So they're, you know, that's why I said technically, I guess it's ours, but the Lions Club may make an argument that it's not, although Rod and I discussed it and we feel that that would not be the case.
Is it possible that, does the town have a need for that container?
We actually just bought a container not too long ago.
So that particular container is probably surplus to the town and could be disposed of as surplus property.
Perhaps
person that has it.
Let's keep it simple.
I want to make a recommendation.
Let's just a public comment. Sure. Kind of
public comment, please. Anybody?
Let Dave have a comment.
All right. Yeah, I think Rick explained that container was donated to the Lions Club and put on there at the Lions Club expense and upgraded at the Lions Club expense. So I don't see how the ownership suddenly got transferred to the town.
Yeah, I don't
quite know how that happened, but anyhow, so I would see that as outside storage.
I think you got to treat them both the same. If the foundation's going to bring a container on one side, they bought the container on the other side, and I charge it. I mean, I would think it.
I guess the question then comes up, and maybe this is complicating things more than it should be at this point in time, and maybe it would need to be put into a section in the agreement that in the event that they vacate or we need to take it over and we have to have them vacate the premises, that they need to remove the containers
whatever
at their cost and expense. And if that's, you know, the direction board wants to go in, we can certainly include that in the final draft of the agreement we bring back.
They're going to remove all personal property. Do you have any comments on that?
No problem.
Any other comments from the public?
Armand,
please.
I just wanted to ask, it seemed to me that both of these storage spaces were being used for many, many years by the Lions Club, and has always, you know, been used by the Lions Club. And I'm just wondering, I don't quite understand at what point did it become such an issue, and this whole thing has become like, you know, where the Lions Club has to pay like $2,000 up front to store stuff for the community. It's just, this whole thing, like, it's just been unfortunate and taken a lot of time, and I don't get why this is happening when it's always been part of the Lions Club. It just seems like, you know, I guess my two questions are, one, what, you know, hasn't it been in the past used by the Lions Club, both storage spaces, and two, why has it come to this point now where you guys are, you know, charging rent and trying to split it up like this and all these issues with logistics?
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other public comments? Anybody? Yeah, there's a lot of history between all these groups and people here, and I don't know there's a simple answer on any of those.
I'll try. From my perspective, I believe that we need to formalize a rental agreement so that we're not, we have to protect the public's facilities, and there could be a situation where it says, well, you're giving away public dollars by not, you know, charging or having a formal arrangement or something on a lease standpoint. So I think we need to keep it a modest amount. I'm in agreement that I think, based on a discussion here, that the amount should be the same for both locations. I have no problem with the container being there. I don't see that as trying to collect any rent on the container. I'm good with 100.
I believe there's a difference in square footage that is available to usage. I mean, how do you charge the same amount of money for two different size units?
Director Graves is accurate. The Well House 4, there's a reason why both parties want it. It's a much more desirable location. The outside area is completely paved, and the inside is completely cleared out. And at 3, it's not paved. There's a driveway leading up to it, but it's all dirt and grass. It's all on gravel. And the building itself is, I'm guessing, is probably where Virgil goes. Probably an older build. 3 is probably how many years older than 4? I don't know, but 3 comes before 4.
But it's the fact that it has that block in the center. It's not as easy to store. You can't build shelter on the outside because then you wouldn't be able to walk around it. They're not equal. So it's pretty hard to charge the same price for two unequal properties.
I'm just making some quick math here, and I think that I'd recommend that site four would be, say, $125, and the well site 3 would be $100 a month.
I'm good with that.
But well site.
Yeah, public comment's closed.
Yeah, the building is a lot larger on well site 3. We had a lot more stuff.
I'm saying the south side would be at $125 and the north side would be at $100 a foot.
That's correct. And the south building is a much smaller building than the north building. And we had all our stuff in well site 4, and it doesn't fit in well site 3. We have to. That's why the container's there.
Right.
So they're not equal. Well site four is bigger.
The information I have is that well 3 is smaller than 4.
Usable space we're talking about.
The building itself, one is, and again, I apologize, I did not measure it. Mr. Madison measured it, and I'm using the numbers. And I have to ask him, did you actually get a tape out measure?
But we put all the shelves in number 4, okay. So we measured it.
So we're looking at 15 by 20 for the building at number 4 and 10 by 18 at number 3. So they're very close in size.
Close. Okay. Usable space. I mean, that block in the center does not allow you to put shelves up like you can in 4, because then you wouldn't be able to get in. Because that block
there is
shelves. There are shelves.
There's shelves in 3.
There's shelves in
3.
Well, we got plenty of public comment.
Yeah, plenty. All right. Go ahead, Director Peace.
There's just a couple items I'd like to see addressed in the agreement when it comes back in final form. One is with regard to outside storage, that the outside storage be not visible above the fence line. So that everything that is outside be stored below. That the liability insurance issue be addressed with SDRMA to see if there's an issue with the town, and that and I have a third one and I can't remember it, so I'll let other comments come by.
The container that's at four right now is above the fence line approximately a foot.
About 2.5 feet.
Yeah, a couple feet.
And I imagine that if the trailer might be a little taller too, so that might be hard to pull. I don't think that's reasonable.
Was your concern about just boxes and things of that nature?
I'm concerned about things growing there and that we end up with an eyesore for Discovery Bay. When people drive down Discovery Bay, it should be, we spend a lot of money on landscaping, lighting, and so forth. It should be a pleasant drive. It should not be stacked with things that shouldn't be there.
Well,
the next container that comes in at Site 3 should be painted just like the other one. See, the other one I didn't even notice anymore.
If an applicant would like a variance, bring that to us, but it should not be generally allowed.
Any other... Yeah, Bob?
Yes, a comment on the trailer. It's my request to have it be built. It's only 2 feet high.
Oh.
It's a stage. It's got steps up one side so entertainers or whatever can get on it.
Stage.
It's okay. 10 foot wide, it's got a 3 foot overhang. It folds up on top of it so it could be trailered on the highway. And that's where it would be stored, but it's only 2 feet high.
Okay.
It's,
all right.
It's not like a theater with
last year's stages.
Yeah, there's no way you could see unless you climbed on a ladder and looked over the wall. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how you, the only way you could hide the container is dig a hole, then it would fill up with water.
No, because they painted it, as long as they paint the container to match the same as the other one was, I wouldn't have a problem with it.
Yeah, I
it's hard to see right now.
Yeah,
the color
doesn't notice it anymore.
Oh, yeah,
thank you.
That's your chair, if I may.
Go ahead.
My suggestion would be to indicate that nothing else being stored on the site other than the container, which must match the surrounding buildings, not be allowed on the premises. So anything above the fence other than the container, which must match the premises, would not be allowed to be stored on the site.
I have no problem with that at all, and I think that President Steele's comment of $100 a month for the foundation to be in well site number 3 and $125 a month for the Lions to be in well site number 4, I think is fair and reasonable. I could support that.
I'm sorry.
No, that's my comment.
Okay. I have not looked at either. I've only been in well 4. I have not been in well 3. So I might have an incorrect perception. Apparently, I do based on the comments that was coming from the group. I think we just charge them both $100 a month,
okay.
And they do a lot for the community. Let's just make it even and equal. $100 a month, $1,200 paid up front for a year, and understand that. You know, we're going to be benefiting from both the things that they do in town with regards to what they do for the town, and what they do for the community center, and what they do for our constituents and the residents of Discovery Bay. Let's just keep it simple. Fair and equitable.
I agree with you.
I can concur with that.
Well, I'd like to make that motion.
We're not going to take motion because we've got direction. So I'll come back. We're coming back, I guess, with another lease or some of these edits. So I'll ask the question a different way. Does anybody object on the board to that proposal for rent?
No.
Okay. Well, thank you, everybody.
Can I just for a couple points of clarification? So I'm adding the language with respect to the container not being visible or matching the surrounding buildings and nothing else being stored. I'm adding language with respect to storing of hazardous material not being allowed. I am adding language to the agreement that a container and trailer, or I guess any other items, can be stored on the outside area. I am adding language for removing all personal property as the termination of the lease. It's a standard provision that goes with any landlord-tenant law, but I'll include that language.
And then I am including a rental amount of $100 per month, paid in advance up front on a yearly basis. But it's still a month. It's still a month-to-month basis. Is that correct?
Yes.
Sounds good to me.
Anything further?
Well,
the only question I was going to ask you is, would you put the language in that all personal property would be removed from termination of the rental? I think we should put it in which to include the container.
I agree. Those words should be in.
Will do.
And the hazmat clause.
We really don't want the hazmat.
I mentioned that one, yes.
And in that, the Lions Club would be number four, and the foundation would be number three.
My understanding.
Done deal.
Yep.
Public comments over, Bob.
Oh, I just want to applaud the board. Thank you.
Oh, in that case, you can make it.
Yeah, go ahead. Come on up.
Thank you.
It's over, Bob. You got 10 minutes for that one.
Yeah. If you brought a pizza, we would have got done a lot quicker.
Thank you all for your patience in getting through this.
All right. Yeah, thank you for all the contribution to our community. Appreciate all your efforts, you guys.
Absolutely.
We'll have this back at the board to the first meeting in April, which will be April the 1st.
Will that meeting be here?
Yes.
Are you not being open to it?
No, don't push your luck.
Okay, next year. Next item, please.
Yes, Mr. President, members of the board.
Chris, I'll take a 2 minutes. Well, if they want to.
Yeah, let's take a 3 minute pause for the cause. Item number four, approved resolution number 2015-05 for Measure WW Local Grant Program Project application for our community center swimming pool and tennis court renovation project. General Manager, please.
Thank you, Mr. President, members of the board. Back on September the 17th, the board approved a contract with Saviano Company for $88,000 for the tennis court renovation project, courts 1 through 6. 1, 2, 5, 6, 7, and 8. I stand corrected. On October the 15th, the board approved a $50,000 contract with Briquette's Pool Fostering to resurface the swimming pool. If you recall, we were going to use community center funds for the swimming pool. We were going to use Measure WW funds for the tennis court renovation project. Once we got more information about projects and their eligibilities, it became evident that the courts 5, 6, 7, and 8 are considered maintenance. They're not considered renovation, where courts 1 and 2 are, because we actually tore out, put in a cap in, and redid the whole thing. And the swimming pool is renovation as well. So what we're asking for tonight is the approval to have a resolution so we can submit to the East Bay Regional Parks District for the same amount of money, just kind of risk dipping into different pots, flip-flopping. What we're doing is we're requesting the $56,190 for the pool. And then the balance of what's left to us in our Measure WW allocation of $12,614 for the tennis courts. So it's getting the same amount of money as from a different pool. Okay.
Any board discussion?
No. Move staff recommendation.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
The next item for consideration is item F5. And as the board is aware, we have a number of employees that work for us. We have 16 regular full-time employees. We also have a number of what we refer to as our part-time seasonal temporary employees. And those are people that come in on a seasonal basis, lifeguards, for example. And we have a job description for a part-time seasonal temporary. We call them the PST. And we've been hiring them under that job description. But it's more appropriate now that we've been up and operating for a couple of years that we bring in a regular class as well as a lifeguard class. Both of those will continue under the same pay scale as a PST. I'm not just looking to establish a pay range. These are all positions at the lower end of the pay scale. But depending on the type of job it is, I mean, you could have a PST that could be
earning $50 or $60 an hour, depending on their skill set. So, for example, if we had to bring in an engineer for a short time to do a special project, we can bring him in and hire him, and then they would be gone when the project was over. But that's not the case here. That just is an example of what could happen. So I'm just looking for approval to approve the two job descriptions for the lifeguard position class as well as a recreation class positions.
Just description.
Just job descriptions.
Any discussion?
Move staff recommendation.
Second.
There's no public. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Unanimous. Thank you. Information? Anything?
Yes. Thank you. I'll go through this real quickly as the highway is getting ready to close pretty soon. Back on July 28th last year, the board recalls that the state rolled out a new series of drought emergency regulations. This board took action and on September the 3rd passed ordinance number 25. That ordinance became effective 30 days later on October 3rd, 2014. That ordinance is attached to the agenda report this evening. Yesterday, and I unfortunately haven't had a chance to see what the state did, but I saw in the news last night that they passed all these, but I just didn't get a chance to look into the details, that they passed some new updated regulations, extended for another 270 days the current drought restrictions, and added three items that would affect us. The first one, and it's called that on the agenda cover sheet, is a prohibition on irrigation of turf or ornamental landscaping. It should say irrigating. On irrigation of turf or ornamental landscaping during and after 48 hours following measurable rainfall. That's number one. Number two is that we would be conditioned to receive any sort of outside funding if we didn't comply with these regulations. So any grants that might be available to us while these emergency measures are in effect. And there's significant monies available in, I believe it's Measure 1B from a couple of years ago, that as a region we're gonna be looking at applying for, so we're gonna need to be able to comply with that. And then that the final one that affects us is that we have to, we're sort of doing it already, Virgil does it as part of his daily routine, and we keep an eye on things, is to have enforcement and compliance efforts formally adopted. And so we do them informally right now, but we would need to come back and do them formally. I want to wait until such time as if you remember last time, we saw a series of regulations, and then the administrative law judge changed them before implementation, or after the state board had approved, and then the Office of Administrative Law changed those regulations a little bit. So I want to wait for the AOL to get their final touches on it before I come back to the board and determine whether or not we need to amend our ordinance one way or another. In our ordinance, our ordinance states that the board has to, our ordinance does not expire. Our emergency drought regulations do not expire until done so by a resolution of this board. So they continue on in force and effect until the board takes an affirmative action to terminate them. So that we didn't want to come back 270 days and have to go through the whole process again. So we just went ahead and continued at that point, so you can do it by resolution. When that time comes, so we don't have to actually readopt them. In other words, and that's just informational at this point in time.
All right, thank you for the update. Item H, the Violi report, please, Mr. Sanders.
Thank you. About February, the safe practices, we did some safety training, hazmat, PPEs, respiratory protection. Got all monthly reports due into the state for the wastewater and water. All wells are running. We produced a little bit over 44 million gallons, which was a 27% increase from last year's this same time. So the we still see, you know, great reduction going on in the water usage. We met all permit limits on the wastewater side. We're still well below our limits. No excursions, no permit violations. All back tees were passed. All lift stations are running. We did finish in the month of February all the flushing, TVing in town. For the last 4 years, we've been doing a quarter at a time, which has been a little over 66,000 feet. This past February, we finished the whole town of Discovery Bay. Has been flushed, TV'd. Now we're in the process of downloading all that video into our, it's called InfoNet, which is our distribution and collections software. So now we're putting all that video in the system. So when we go to a certain section or a certain manhole, it'll come up with the manhole that was inspected and the section between that manhole and the next manhole. We'd have a TV video of that, so it'd be some historical data we can always go back and look at. And then now we will focus on hot spots, areas we've seen that need trouble. We'll go back and hit periodically until they are well cleaned and not an issue. So that is still, that's moving as we speak. That process is going on. And maintenance is still moving. We're continuing to work on some backlog stuff where you can see our numbers are coming way down. And we had only 4 call outs last month, which was very good. And that's about it. Things are going very well. I didn't want to show the board.
On May, this question, Bernie?
Yes.
So why is it, I'm going to ask this question already. You know, our electrical conductivity was always like just at or above 2100 all the time, and now it seems to be what I consider substantially below 2100.
Right.
Why?
Well, 5.
Oh, we took that offline. Got me that salt. Okay. Thank you.
Well, 5 contributed to that.
Okay.
Mainly during the summer, because you have to run part of, to meet demand.
Okay.
And with the demand being low now, we don't hardly ever run by 5 just to exercise.
I knew there was a reason. I knew there was a logical reason for that.
And this video here I wanted to show you is just how things happened. This was Monday morning, about 8:45 in the morning. This telephone pole here, a black crow landed on it. And you can see, let me speed this up so you might see, don't watch a bunch of dead stuff. Anyway, I know it's hard to tell, but there's a black bird up there just jumping on the power line, and here in about a second you'll see it explode. And you'll see the generator kick on immediately.
Ooh.
And that what happened there was when he got too close to the brake to the transformer, it blew. The bird fell to the ground. Aww. Generator kicked on, and so we ran for about 10 hours on generator power at plant 1. It took PG&E about 8 hours to come out because they couldn't see on their grid a power outage. We had to keep calling and keep calling and keep calling. Aww. But that simple little bird caused that. But you seen how quick the generator kicked on.
That was cool.
So I just wanted to show you that. I thought that was pretty interesting.
Darwin. Do it again.
Guess
he's on the Darwin Awards now.
I have two more items I want to add for your information only. As part of the TV and the flushing that they do, we're trying to stay on top of anything that's what we call a major item. So when they were doing some flushing at a sewer manhole, there was at least a 2 to 3 inch hole on the bottom of this manhole, and this bottom of this manhole is about 18 feet deep into the ground, where a lot of groundwater was coming in. And so Tuesday, we had hired a contractor to come in, and it's really specialized. You have to go behind, go behind that pole where the water's rushing in, put this foam almost, the moment it hits water, it expands, and behind it, so then it plugs up the holes. We did that Tuesday to seal that up. And then on early part of February, we brought in divers to dive into our storage tanks and to video inspect the storage tanks. We do that every 3 years. And so that was done this February, for your FYI.
And I hope once we get all our video downloaded to our InfoNet system, I would like to come in and show the board just some of the stuff we found over the last 4 years and some of the corrections we made, just to kind of keep you up.
Okay.
It's really paying off.
Thank you, Bernie.
General Manager's report, please.
For the sake of brevity, I will pass this evening.
Ooh.
Off
follow the same.
Any committee updates?
Nope.
All right, thank you. Correspondence, thank you. Public records requests? Future agenda items?
I talked to General Manager Howard about the town had sent in a letter with regard to the tunnels and the district and the town's opposition to the construction of the tunnels. There's also a related project to that that's moving forward with the state with regard to some dams on the Delta, which is they're designed to push water over to the tunnels. And I would like me perhaps a future agenda item to have a letter of opposition to those dams, which is just an ancillary project to the tunnels. And I'll get some additional information.
You know what public comment is closing on that? That's closing pretty soon, isn't it?
It is closing soon. However, comments can always come in.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, any other agenda items? All right, at this time, I'd like to adjourn our meeting. Thank you.
All right, you're going to make it.
Thank you very much.
I do that.